We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, you're listening to Damon Bruce and Ray Ratto on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by BMW Fairfield.
And for Damon again today, hello, Kevin Michael, Whitey Gleason, and to you, Ray, and to Warrior fans, I would like to say happy 10-year anniversary. Happy 10-year anniversary of the day the Warriors drafted Draymond Green, who has been everywhere since winning another title. He was even on The Daily Show with Trevor Noah last night. 35th pick in the 2012 draft. Third player taken that draft by the Warriors. Draymond Green, one of the great draft picks in NBA history, Ray. Perhaps the best value pick in the history of the NBA draft. Perhaps.
Yeah, big deal. He's 33 years old now. It's too old to be celebrating birthdays.
He's definitely celebrating. Well, it's not a birthday. It's a draft anniversary. But
whatever it is.
Yeah.
He doesn't care, so we shouldn't.
He certainly cares about this title because he's really taking advantage of the opportunity to grow the Draymond brand.
Oh, no, he's not growing it. He's tying it to a hammer and hitting you across the head with it. He will do anybody's show, except this one, of course.
Not Skip Bayless. He won't do Skip Bayless's show, although he'd consider it.
But he
essentially
did Skip Bayless's show for him because he probably gave him like an hour of content.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he did his show without getting paid for it.
But here's the problem. Maybe it's a problem. It's a problem for some. I don't know that it's a problem for Draymond. The more shows Draymond goes on, the more he talks. The more Draymond talks, the more, controversial things he says. So here's what we're dealing with today. Draymond Green, I'm sure you've heard it by now, explaining, and this was, by the way, on The Old Man and the Three, and also it was on the Draymond Green Show live recording, his podcast. He had like a double dip in there. Draymond Green explaining why Golden State would not have beaten Cleveland without Kevin Durant.
Teams have figured us out, and I personally don't think at that point Steph Curry had figured out I'm going to get a bucket whenever I want to. I don't think he was capable of that yet. I think he was still growing into that. And so because of that, once teams started to figure our offense out, we were starting to struggle more and more. I'm not sure if you remember that series of OKC where we were down 3-1 and we had to come back. That's because teams had started to figure it out. And so what then in turn ended up happening was Steph still creates all the havoc that he creates.
Whoa.
Like I tweeted, Steph faced so many double teams and Kevin didn't. That's a fact. Like you can go look at the numbers or just watch the game if you can analyze the game better than Skip Bayless. And if you watch the game, then you see that Steph's getting double teamed. And Ty Lue then goes publicly and say, I'm double-teaming Steph Curry every chance I get. Kevin wasn't getting double-teamed. But the reality is we got to a point where we needed to be able to give someone the ball that can just go get a bucket. And Kevin was already there. I don't think Steph was there yet. So it gets us through those 2 years. We get those two championships. But while we're doing that, Steph is continuing to work and evolving. And most importantly, becoming the strongest dude on our team. And to this day, he's the strongest guy on the team. And that allowed him to score whenever he wanted because you can no longer bump him off his path.
Draymond Green, and yeah, it was 10 years ago today, the Warriors drafted him. Draymond Green on The Old Man and the Three podcast, the Draymond Green Show. Some hear that, Ray, and they think there is no reason for Draymond to say that because to a degree, he threw some shade on the legacy of Steph Curry.
Well, no, he didn't, and Curry doesn't care anyway.
I don't think there's any debating the second part because Steph also today was out on Instagram. He posted, congratulations, Draymond, or happy 10-year anniversary of a draft. Clearly, Steph doesn't care.
No, he doesn't care because the truth is one of the reasons they did go out and get Durant was because Cleveland not only double-teamed Curry, they beat him up. I mean, they made it clear that they didn't believe the Warriors could win if Curry had was prevented from having free reign of the floor. And it's not that Curry couldn't do that, because subsequent events have shown that he could. But at the time, that was a way that Cleveland was able to not neutralize him, but minimize the damage he could do. So I don't think he's wrong about that. And I don't think he's throwing shade. I think if Curry was angry about it, we'd know about it.
By the way, as a humble student of the game of basketball and the history of pro basketball, I have to applaud your choice of the Kentucky Colonels shirt today. Seriously, that is an awesome shirt. Kentucky Colonels of the ABA. You have Dan Issel, Artis Gilmore, right? Louis Dampier. So thank you for bringing that in today.
You know, Ray. Almost everybody in the audience can't see us, right?
Well, Twitch and YouTube, hello?
Nobody's watching that. Nobody,
are you
nobody
kidding me?
Who is not being supervised by a medical person is watching that.
Yeah, and for those who aren't watching, I'm giving them my word's eye view of what's going on in here.
We have 150 people watching on YouTube right now.
150!
But we need more. Come on.
YouTube alone, Ray, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I try
to say something nice.
It's clothing. It doesn't matter. I love your nondescript black shirt. It really makes you sexy. Doesn't that sound stupid?
But you have a very nice... We're talking basketball, and you got a throwback shirt on.
But we weren't talking about the Kentucky Colonels, let alone the ABA.
Well, speaking of the history of basketball...
I mean, that's literally 46 years ago.
Yeah. That shirt's not that old. Is that vintage? That's newer, right? You didn't, get that at the time.
No,
you didn't get that from Hubie Brown, who coached the Colonels to that 75 ABA
championship. No, I don't believe Hubie Brown sells old memorabilia out of the trunk of his car.
This is Damon and Ratto. Whitey in for Damon today. We're brought to you by BMW Fairfield, now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit. From the 510, I'm watching Ray. Love you from the Xfinity Mobile text line. Speaking of the history of basketball, love this text of the day nominee from the 650. Whitey, are you going to have a draft anniversary for Nikola Jokic? I'd argue he was a better value pick. That's well played right there.
Yeah, but again, you're talking about people who need to get out more.
And seeing as though he was drafted during a Taco Bell commercial promoting the quesarito, it's an all-time draft moment. Maybe the greatest draft moment ever. What do you think about that, Ray?
Could be, Ray.
I think I'm surrounded by literally halfwits.
The way that Steph Curry was surrounded by Cleveland Cavaliers, right, during those playoff
series. They picked
him
up at half court and they beat him up.
The most interesting thing to me about that, and I know people are going to twist it this way and that, and Draymond, we may not hear anything about it. If we hear anything, Draymond's going to say, see, there I say something, and people misunderstand it because they don't understand the game, and Steph's okay with it, you don't understand what I mean. Anyway, what's interesting, though, aside from that, you know that's coming, right?
Well, of course it is, because he's baited the hook, and everybody snaps at it every time.
Right.
It's like we have spaniel brains. It's just we don't ever say, you know what?
Spaniels are pretty smart, aren't they?
Really? Take one to the bank and have him make change for you. Find out how smart a spaniel is.
Well, they don't have the opposable thumbs and all that.
Yeah. Well, that's not the only thing that spaniels don't have, but we're getting off the topic. Draymond Green is essentially showing everybody that he is at a place where if he says anything, and it doesn't matter whether it's intelligent or stupid or just nonsense, people are going to go, oh my God, what does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and remarkably, like all other sports figures, either pundits or athletes, it doesn't mean a hell of a lot.
888-957-9570. Ray wants to know what you think this means.
No, he doesn't.
On the Xfinity Mobile text
line. Keep it to yourself.
Oh my goodness. What does this mean? To me, the most interesting thing about that is the acknowledgement that now Steph can do something that we didn't think he could do before, and apparently now one of his longtime teammates is acknowledging he couldn't do. We saw it in Game 4. We saw it all last year during the regular season. Of course, playoffs, a different animal. And we saw it this year in the series against Boston, especially Game 4. Steph now is one of those guys who can do that. And a lot of the naysayers, Ray, said that he couldn't do that. Yeah, he can't. When he needs a shot himself, he can't do that. That's one thing he can't do. This year, Steph proved he can do that. That's why, to me, he really elevated his status among the all-time great players.
I don't think he did any such thing.
I think he did.
I think when we start grading people on the analysis of people who don't know anything,
I'm basing it on what Draymond said. Go ahead. Sorry.
He was, if he had not progressed a bit, from 2016, he still would have been one of the all-time great shooters, assuming that he didn't regress, which he almost certainly wouldn't have. The fact is, the Warriors had a chance to get Kevin Durant and make themselves indomitable. And they did, and they were. You know, it wasn't a referendum on Stephen Curry. See, that's where people are going to wander off the into the woods and get confused. They didn't get Kevin Durant because, oh my God, Steph Curry is slipping. They got him so that it didn't matter who you guarded because you had to leave somebody else open.
They had a chance.
And whether it was Curry or Thompson or Harrison Barr, it didn't matter. It was, we have all the players in the world.
Well, Harrison had to go to
true, but
allow you to bring in Kevin Durant.
I mean, the fact is, Durant was brought in not to fix Stephen Curry, but to make the entire team impossible to guard.
Yeah.
The problem here is that people don't want to admit that the Warriors are an ensemble, and that ensemble includes Stephen Curry. He is not separate from it. They made the team better when they brought Durant in. They didn't do it because all of a sudden Curry had become a liability or even was less than what he'd been before. It's just, you know, I don't know. It makes me nuts that people don't get it. Even people who watch this team game in and game out for year after year.
When KD was here, was he better than Steph Curry? In my opinion, he clearly was. He was a Finals MVP. To me, Durant, when he was here, was better than Steph.
Individually, yes. Mm-hmm. But the offense would not have worked as well if Curry wasn't there sort of supervising it.
Right, yeah.
Because it was still, you know, based more on ball movement than isolation.
I think
the Warriors aren't a great isolation team. They're a great ball movement team. They're one of the best ball movement teams in the history of the sport.
Might be one of the reasons why Durant left. It's like, that works, but I don't want to play that way.
Yeah. Could be, but, you know, the fact is, you know, if you're just doing this guy versus that guy, like they're all individual pieces in a Jenga tower.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Durant probably was better. But ultimately, that's not how you grade the Warriors.
888-957-9570. We have more from Draymond coming up. Oh, boy. Also, at some point, we got to get into what in the name of Vin Scully is going on with Freddie Freeman and the Dodgers. That and more next. It's Damon and Ratto. Whitey in for Damon today. What in the name of Vin? Have you heard this audio from
No, I have, but I don't think it's got anything to do with Vin.
Freddie Freeman. Anyway.
You apply your own sound effects. You really enhance the show.
Want you to know that if you're looking for all the best Warriors content from 95.7 The Game, text Warriors to 20357. That's Warriors to 20357. Make sure to hit the subscribe button in the Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by BMW Fairfield. Now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit.
You know, Damon and Ratto, Ray and I were just talking about this. Whitey in for Damon today. But Damon and Ratto streaming live on Twitch and YouTube. So head to twitch.tv/957TheGame, youtube.com/957TheGame. To watch us live and check out Ray's shirt on the text line. Ray, could you turn a little more to the right, please, so that we can see your Kentucky Colonels throwback T-shirt?
I could, but I won't.
Why not? It's a beauty.
This is not about my clothing.
Okay.
It's about talking mindless nonsense about Draymond Green and his inability to get out of the way of a television camera.
Well, you're looking pretty good on a TV camera yourself here. Twitch and YouTube, anyway. Before we get back to Draymond.
You may want to start dating your wife again.
Before we get back to Draymond. The Giants back home tonight, taking on the Tigers. Hey, Ray, how about that? It's a 2012 World Series rematch. First time the Tigers have been here since 2012. I think they played a couple times since then, but they haven't played here. And we didn't talk about the Giants yesterday, so we missed the opportunity, which I want to take advantage of now, to talk about Lucas's episode he had at the ballpark over the weekend. You know, Tommy Pham and the Reds were in town, and it was a, you know, for the Giants, it was a forgettable series, but a lot of people were excited about, ooh, Tommy Pham's back. Tommy Pham, who slapped Jock Peterson earlier this year in some sort of fantasy football dispute. Your boy Lucas was actually heckling Tommy Pham, actually heckling him, and Tommy Pham responded. Did you hear what he said to him?
Lucas related to me, and again, I can't argue with Tommy Pham here.
It wasn't heckling. I was trying to talk fantasy football with a fellow fantasy football nerd.
That's, you know, given the context, and that's fine.
Thank you.
But that's heckling.
And I told Ray I was going to do it.
Yeah.
He not only told me, he told me repeatedly. I mean, literally, he was like a parrot with Tourette syndrome.
Ray wouldn't give me any advice for questions to ask.
I did give you advice. I told you to shut up and watch the game.
How did it go down? What exactly happened, Lucas?
I had great seats sitting about 10 feet behind the visitors on deck circle. Ooh. And made sure
this
to get there.
Friday night? Or
Friday night after our great show with Ray, filling in for Damon, and doing it again Thursday and Friday.
Nice.
Nick Friedell.
Nice.
So we were there Friday night. Game started at 7:15, so I had plenty of time to get over to the ballpark. We got there early, had a drink or two
glug.
Top of the first, Tommy Pham.
It's Tommy Pham, guys. Watch this.
What are you doing?
I'm just imagining that's kind of the state of mind. Hey, you guys, watch this.
I don't know what you just said.
Perfect. Yeah, that was, that's exactly what I sounded like. Anyways,
I feel like Louise Fletcher in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Am I supposed to keep going now?
No. Knock yourself out. People are literally on the edge of their seats.
You just drop a Nurse
for the end of
Ratched
the story.
Reference right there.
Ratched.
Nurse Ratched. Okay. Whatever. Anyway, Lucas, I'm sorry.
Know
go ahead.
Any of these names?
Hey guys, what's this? It's Tommy Pham.
Top of the first. Donovan Solano batting second. By the way, his first game, I think, back in Oracle, which was great. Great to see him. Gave us a nice little thumbs up. Told him how much we appreciated Donnie Barrels around these parts. And so he's batting second. He gets up to the plate. Tommy Pham batting third. Comes to the on deck circle, and I just started asking him fantasy football questions. Just, hey, what do you think about Christian McCaffrey this year? You know, he's been banged up. Where do you have him on your power rankings? Do you trust him? And he, that question went in one ear. He turned around, found me in the crowd, and he just said, yo, you're ugly as And then he turned right back around.
Did he say it like that? Like gleefully? Or was like, hey, you, blah, blah, blah?
No.
Did he really say like, hey?
No, let me try that again. That was actually a really bad Tommy Pham. Let's try it again.
Okay.
So I say the question, turns around, finds me, goes, yo, you're ugly as...
That was actually very good.
Thank you. Did I sound like Tommy Pham there? Anyways, I was caught so off guard.
Tommy, thanks for talking to me.
I was caught so off guard that he would actually respond that I just died laughing. And
that's
I didn't
tremendous.
Have a comeback. And then I gathered myself eventually, was ready for the next at-bat, asked him about quarterbacks, you know, what are we doing with Patrick Mahomes with no Tyreek Hill? How do we feel about Aaron Rodgers without Devontae Adams now, who's in Las Vegas? You know, just asking normal fantasy, the most pressing fantasy football questions.
Right,
you know,
right.
Whitey, we're only a couple months away from football season.
Right.
I thought he'd be thinking about these things. Clearly, he didn't want to engage me in a conversation.
Yeah, I think he made his point.
And then later,
good
I
for
asked,
you too.
I asked if he
accurately
wanted to
assess the way the conversation was going.
I mean, I was trying to be as kind as possible. He would not engage. At the very end, you know, after we had a nice back and forth, I asked if he wanted to come on our fantasy podcast, and no response. So
I
still
tried.
Wait. We're still waiting on word from
you. Did all you could
from
do.
The Reds? Yeah.
Yeah. I actually got into a stare down contest once. Similar situation with A-Rod. I was at an A's game in Texas, and it was right after he signed there. And we were sitting. Friend of mine, I don't know how he got the tickets, but we're right there behind the Rangers dugout. And Alex Rodriguez, he's on deck. And I'm just staring at him because he's Alex Rodriguez. So I was like, oh, my goodness. And he looks, for some reason, he looks at me. And I'm looking at him, and we honestly engage in a stare down. I have no idea why, but I'm like, well, if he's looking at me, I'm not going to stop looking at him. And so we're just staring at each other. And then, you know, he's staring at me. And then, you know, he has to go up there. How about it, Alex Rodriguez? And so he looks in my direction. He spits in my direction and then goes up to hit. I had a stare down contest with A-Rod, and I won that sucker.
How did you win? Did he get a hit?
No, he had to. I stared him down until he left.
Right, he just told the story.
Yeah. I heard the story.
It was
did
the weirdest thing.
Did he get a hit
though.
With the ensuing at bat?
I don't remember. I don't think he did.
Well, if he gets a hit, he wins.
Yeah, okay, then I'm going to go with he didn't. He grounded out.
Okay, so he's making up
stuff. Durazo. He grounded out to a Rubio Durazo.
And on Friday night, Tommy Pham went 0 for 4 and made 5 outs because he grounded into a double play.
There you go.
I won, Ray.
Yeah, Lucas, you're honest to God. You really are. You're Mark Twain.
Thank you so much. It's like the seventh time someone's called me that in the last couple weeks.
Ray, would you say that Draymond Green is kind of a modern Mark Twain?
No, I wouldn't.
Draymond Green was on the Old Man and the Three podcast. He was on Draymond Green's show live. They had like a double simulcast, I guess. So Draymond was asked, among other things, if KD gets enough credit for the 17 and 18 titles, Ray.
I don't think the outside world gave Kevin enough credit. I think if you came within our organization, Kevin was given all the credit. But the reality is I don't think that team wins another championship if Kevin doesn't come. Now, you may say, oh, yeah, but y'all won the fourth one without Kevin. But there's a gap in there where teams started to figure us out.
And would you guys have beat Houston those 2 years without Kevin?
Yeah, we was beating them for sure. So, kidding me. That team was never going to beat us. It just was not going to happen.
What about the Cavs then?
We would not have beat the Cavs coming back around without Kevin.
You know, it's one thing Kevin Durant and Draymond talk a lot about. We don't know why everyone keeps talking about that. Well, isn't that one reason, Ray? Draymond Green can't stop talking about it.
No, he can't stop being asked about it. He answers every question he's given.
Yep.
He just answers it with an incredible amount of volubility and length. So he never stops going on about it. But that's not his fault. He's answering questions.
Mm-hmm.
People need to stop asking if that's the issue.
We are brought to you by BMW Fairfield, now open in the Fairfield Auto Mall. Visit BMWFairfield.com today to book your visit. A lot of these things, and I'm the one that brought it up, I know, and we're talking about it because I, you know, started talking about it. So I understand that, I take responsibility for that. But I don't understand why this is like some kind of mystery. Was Kevin Durant good? Were you guys good because you had Kevin Durant? Kevin Durant was magnificent. Still is if he's not injured. He's a little older now. That was a really, really good team that won 73 games. He added Kevin Durant. He was the best player on the team, finals MVP. Then he left, and the Warriors won an untitled again. It's not some kind of mystery.
No, but people love to talk about it as though it's some great hinge moment in the history of the franchise.
Oh, yeah. Would you have won without him? Was he good?
People can't help bring it up because the Warriors have won again, and now Kevin Durant is in this maelstrom of insanity with Kyrie Irving. So, you know, it's an easy kind of road to pat travel where you go, man, if he had only stayed in Oakland, you know,
mm-hmm.
they'd have been great forever. Well, maybe not. You know, all you know is what happened, not what might have happened. But people can't help bringing up the past because the present's too boring for them, I guess.
Well, there was something really fascinating about that combination.
But not 5 years later.
I guess.
I mean just at some point, the past is gone. You know, people keep bringing it up as though...
I think by definition, if it's the past, it's gone.
Yeah, I think that's really clever of you. And you really...
You said at some point, the past is gone. Well,
No, people can't shut up about it.
That's true.
I mean, there's nothing left to say about that era in Warriors basketball. It's played out. Almost everybody on that team is gone.
From the 510, Dre also thought they couldn't win a championship with the rookies. It obviously doesn't make him right. That's true. I think what Draymond said there for the most part, and you're right, Ray, it's not his fault. People ask him these things, and he's got this format, and he wants to get people listening, and he knows it's going to get talked about, but he's right. Kevin Durant was crucial to them winning those two championships, and now Steph has found another gear. Both those things can be true. Draymond also had this to say about the Warriors' future.
In 2019 was when Steph really locked in on the weight room. And so that's where he kind of starts taking that bump and kind of bumping it up a little bit. And although it didn't show immediately because then 2020 we were terrible and he broke his hand, you started to see in 2021 we were still terrible. But Steph was carrying us, and he carried us to a play-in game, and we didn't get past it. It was probably great because we would have got swept, and that would have been the first series we ever got swept. So thank God we didn't make it. But I think you started to see it then, that growth, and like, oh man, nobody can stop this dude now. And I think that really changed the complexity of our organization, and I'm pretty certain that's why we'll win three of the next four NBA championships.
Three of the next four. Warriors, Draymond calling it. Don't you just go, we'll win the next two? Why do you go three of four? I don't know.
I don't know either. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to tour the inside of this cavern he calls a head.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's filling time like everybody else is. He's an auctioneer on crank. You know, this is his moment to say everything that's on his mind and everything.
He's making the most of it, like Lucas did with Tommy.
He's hammering. Well, not like that. No, I mean, Draymond Green is occasionally interesting. The Tommy Pham story stopped being interesting when Tommy Pham accurately assessed his facial features. I mean, this is Draymond's minute, and nobody can shut him up.
Is it? I think that's a little too simple of an explanation. Again, I agree with Draymond. KD was great. We don't win those without him. Steph found another gear, and we saw in the finals this year, he's able to do things, make shots on his own, offensively do things, create his own shot in a way that maybe he couldn't do that before. But when he says, oh, he got in the weight room and now you can't push him around, is it really that simple that, oh, he put on a few pounds and now you can't push him around because he's stronger?
No.
I don't buy that.
No, that's not an accurate assessment. He did get stronger.
Sure.
It's not as easy to push him around. But the fact is the team around him was significantly better than the team last year. And galactically better than the year before. Andrew Wiggins emerged as a potentially great player in a weird way, but he did it. Klay Thompson was finally as close to health as he's been since 2018. The rookies did well. Kevon Looney had a breakout year, and their sort of, league minimum signings all thrived because they were all good together. Because it's not, again, I know that people need this to be true, but it's not. The Warriors are not just Stephen Curry. He's the starting point. But this is an ensemble. They have won because there's more good players that they have.
Doesn't that make him way harder to guard?
Well, of course it does.
Right.
But part of that is him, but part of that is the other guys you have to guard and the way that they move the ball and how he runs around to wear out his defender. I mean, there's a million factors that go into every play they run because they are a team in constant motion. And that's why they're as good as they are.
I'll tell you what, it's clear your basketball knowledge dwarfs Skip Bayless's. The way you just broke that down. Man, oh man, you know a lot more about basketball than Skip Bayless.
This day's not going well so far.
888. That's a compliment. 888.
You said I was better than Skip Bayless.
I said
essentially.
I didn't say you're better.
Essentially, you're saying I'm a better chef than a guy with eczema.
I didn't say you were better. I said you knew more about basketball. 888-957-9570. But yes, of course you are. Chris in Oakland, 95.7 The Game. How are you, Chris?
Hey. I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Just happened to be watching when Draymond was making these statements. I was watching, coincidentally, rookie season Steph Curry video. And I saw him making his own shots over Shaq, around Kawhi. When LeBron was referred to as the king and was all that, Steph has always made his own shots. He recently has had to be double-teamed. Because they always know there's one guy on the court that they don't have to cover who doesn't shoot, and that's Draymond, and that's the reality he's got to live with.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate that. I do think there's some truth to what Draymond said. Steph is he's better equipped now, let me put it that way, to carry the offense than he was a few years ago. We saw that this year with, against Boston in the finals when Steph had to run the high pick and rolls because of the way Boston put pressure on the basketball. It's like the offense started not with a pass. It was initiated with Steph on the pick and roll, reading the defense, and he dominated, especially in that fourth game when the whole series turned. Whether you agree with that or not, some people, to Chris's point, hey, he's been able to do that a lot longer than people give him credit for. I do think one of the things that Steph accomplished, he didn't set out to accomplish it, but he did accomplish it. He gave people like, all kidding aside, right? Skip Bayless, people who said he can't do this, he can't do that. They have nothing now on Steph. And they can talk about the Warriors and the dynasty, but a lot of the things people said about Steph, yeah, he's great, a great shooter, but he's got these limitations. Steph put that all night-night in the finals this year.
Really?
Yes.
Night-night.
He did. Night-night.
Holy Jesus. When you listen to idiots, you only waste time that belongs to you.
But some of them are so loud.
It doesn't matter. You have a remote. You can make them go away.
I don't know where it is. I do have the voice remote.
Well, it's probably underneath your dog, like everything else you own.
No, you're right.
No, I mean, it's Skip Bayless's analysis of basketball is obviously, I mean, he knows one thing, and you can argue about how well he knows that. And that's the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
That's been his go-to. His second go-to is LeBron stinks.
Isn't he from
now,
San Jose?
Now, if that's his second go-to, what does that tell you about everything else that comes out of his pie hole?
That it's like what comes out of the wrong end of my dog.
Well, it may not be the wrong end of your dog, depending on what you're talking about.
I think you know what we're talking about.
Yeah, and I'm ashamed that you brought it up, but here we are talking about your dog's rear end.
Uh-huh.
This show is going great.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you judge the source. I mean, we talked about this yesterday. Find people that you think make sense and listen to them. You know, watch them, read them. You know, every minute you spend with somebody you know is a certifiable dope, that's on you. That's not on them.
Do you watch The Daily Show with Trevor Noah?
Often.
Okay, because Draymond was on that last night.
Yeah, like I said, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting Draymond Green on a television.
Draymond,
he's like a test pattern.
Yes, he talked about facing more doubts during this run than at any time in the Warriors' championship past.
I felt like people doubted us more this time than they did prior to 2015 when we had never won anything. And mm-hmm. I think that's ultimately, you know, everybody's like, oh, why in the parade are y'all saying F everybody and shut up? And that's because the reality is they disrespected the work we've already done.
Right.
You know, to disrespect us as if we aren't champions and just write us off like we hadn't done it before. That's why I said, F them.
I understand that. Appreciate that. But look, facts is facts, Ray. There was a point at which during this year we heard Draymond and also Iguodala, and they said, you know what? You can't win this way. Am I right? They said, you know what? You have the aging core, the veteran core. They wouldn't call themselves aging core. And then if you're going to try to win by adding these young guys that aren't ready yet, that doesn't work. I believe Draymond himself said that. And also Steve Kerr, was it last week or the week before, said, you know, Bob Myers and I, before the playoffs, we didn't know we had a championship team. So when the Warriors talk about people doubted us, people didn't think we could do it. Yeah, that's fine. But they didn't know they could do it.
No, they doubted themselves. Of course they did.
Yes.
No, everybody rewrites history on a ongoing basis. The fact is, nobody disrespected the Warriors in 2013 or 2014 because they were the new item on the menu. You know, there was no telling what they were about to become. Nobody knew. Nobody had an inkling. So it wasn't a question of disrespect. They were essentially the Denver Nuggets of the time. You know, just sort of a team that had suddenly emerged and were now like a fringe contender. And then in 2015, they ran the table. You know, they had a slow build, but when they hit it, they hit it all. So, you know, any comparisons to back then are invalid. You know, as to whether they were disrespected this time, yeah, and for a really good reason. They were coming off massive injuries. Their three best guys were in their 30s. Nobody knew what Andrew Wiggins was going to produce. Nobody knew what the rookies were going to be. Jordan Poole was only a hint of what he became. I mean, the fact is, sports is about surprises.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was surprised by how this ended up. I mean, if they were that good, you know, if they were being so profoundly disrespected, well, maybe it's because they only won 53 games. You know, maybe they were, I mean, they weren't the one seed. They weren't even the two seed in the West. Other teams had performed better than they did.
They had to play really well over the last, five games to even end up as the three seed.
Yeah. I mean, you know, what happened to them was they got all their pieces together at the start of the playoffs. And to their great comfort, they were playing a team that had only one guy, and that was Denver. You know, they got their breaks too. But no, I don't think the Warriors saw this coming. And if that sounds like disrespecting Draymond Green's head. Well, maybe that's what he needs to make sure the engine keeps churning.
Sure. So there is that after all these years, right? After all these years and all these games, and
You know, now if he's talking to people who are still disrespecting them in the during the finals. See, I don't measure disrespect. It's just you either do or you don't.
Mm-hmm.
And what other people think of you should be irrelevant.
Yeah.
Because that's what this argument for respect is. I demand that you acknowledge that I'm the greatest. Well, why not just be the greatest?
Yeah.
If they'll come around or you don't have to listen to them anymore.
If there's two teams playing and you say, you know, I think Team A is going to win, Team B's like, oh, you're disrespecting us.
Yeah. Shut up. God, this is why people are bad.
This is why. Quick question for you, Ray, from the 650. Oh, serious. God. Don't worry. Relax. Serious question. Ray, is it possible? I know anything is possible, but can someone this late in a career like Draymond become a better three-point shooter, at least decent? Have you ever seen it before? Thank you for the question on the Xfinity Mobile text line.
I don't remember anybody as reluctant to shoot the three as him become a good three-point shooter.
Right.
I'm unwilling to say that he can't do it because he used to be able to. But I think it's unlikely. But it's his reluctance to do that I think probably prevents him from becoming a good three-point shooter now.
From the 925, he needs to keep his flame lit, guys. Just let Draymond be Draymond from Carlos.
I'm not
and
preventing him from being Draymond, and neither are you.
Right.
I mean, we're just saying, you know, he's on as much as Judge Judy.
Do you remember?
He doesn't have a syndicated show.
Well, he's still around. He's a heck of a guy. He doesn't play anymore. Harold Presley. He played at Villanova, and he was Harold Presley. He was a guy who couldn't really shoot, and he made himself a decent three-point shooter. And he told me one time, he said, "You just got to go in there and you just got to work at it, and find somebody who can help you, a coach, and just got to work and work and work. It can be done."
But
to the question, but as you pointed out, he didn't want to take that shot. So between that and the possibility that there's something physical involved, those are the potential hurdles. Otherwise, it can be done, but it's clear that it's not something he feels really comfortable doing right now.
And also, they don't need him to do that.
It helps, though.
No, but if he takes a couple, whether he makes them or not is kind of irrelevant, because they've got other guys who can do that. They've got three off the top of my head, you know, and that's not even giving, you know, Andrew Wiggins a notice or Otto Porter. I mean, they've got three guys who are excellent three-point shooters. So what is the great urgency to have Draymond Green shoot threes?
888.
I don't think there is one.
888-957-9570. Coming up, Draymond on motivation, and we got to get to this Freddie Freeman thing. What in the name of Clayton Kershaw is going on? It's next with Damon and Ratto, Whitey in for Damon, and we are presented by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
Now back to Damon and Ratto, brought to you by BMW Fairfield on 95.7 The Game.
What's fascinating to me about this week is how over the last, I don't know, 10 years, maybe not quite that many, the way this week has become a bit of a wrestling match for center stage between baseball and NBA free agency. Whitey in for Damon today on 95.7 The Game. There was a time when NBA offseason was, you got to be kidding me. People barely had time for the NBA regular season. Now you got football getting ready to take center stage. The camp's opening soon, and then, of course, exhibition season, then football, and football is king. So baseball, now that basketball is done, it's time for baseball to grab the spotlight. But this week, Ray, people really, over the last few years, have been fascinated by what's going on with NBA free agency. This year isn't necessarily going to be a great year for a lot of big-name player movement, but I think the NBA has done a really good job of maximizing the attention it gets during its offseason at the expense of baseball.
Well, they don't do it at the expense of baseball. They couldn't care less about baseball. People like the sound and smell of burning money more than anything else in sport. They like that more than the games. And the fact is, the NBA is better than anybody else at burning money in the months of June and July. I mean, Jalen Brunson, all 3'8" of him, is going to make $100 million from the New York Knickerbockers. Literally owners cannot wait to throw money at people. John Wall, who's been invisible for 2 years, you know, $47 million. You know, it's Kyrie Irving, who took half the year off just for the hell of it, is getting 36. I mean, just that's what people like more. I mean, they love player movement because they get to imagine that they're general managers, and they love other people's money being turned into soot.
You don't think any of that comes at the expense of baseball and that people are just paying way more attention to basketball than they are to baseball?
No, baseball used to be the sport that threw money around, and they did it in the winter. Now, as they've gone on these economy kicks.
Well, the spring, they couldn't do anything in the winter, but I get your point.
No, but you...
I mean, this year was weird, but you're right.
No,
you're
but
right.
You know what I mean.
I do.
The offseason was, you know, that's when player contracts got moved and guys got paid. Now it's hard to find guys who get paid anymore because baseball is obsessed with paying only about five or six guys and everybody else make as close to the minimum as possible. People aren't interested in that. They just know what that is. It's just, you know, it's just bankers running their favorite team, and they're not interested in that. The NBA, and it's certainly not by design because they don't like spending money either. They just know that that's the nature of the beast right now. And the most important thing is, what's Kyrie Irving going to do, and is he going to take Kevin Durant with him? Because that's essentially a nine-figure deal almost. That's a lot of money to watch change hands, and people love that.
Despite the things I said yesterday about Kyrie and how you just don't know if he's motivated, I think if he does commit to the Nets this year, and I know there's still a lot of ways he could be on his way out, depending on what the Nets want to do, but if he's committed this year, if this is like, hey, contract year, let's go, let's see what we can do, I really think the Nets have a chance to be very, very good this year, Ray.
Maybe. I mean, I don't think they're going to be as good as Boston. But the real
thing. They played them very tough, and I know Boston took care of them, but they played them really tough, and that was a shorthanded Nets team that wasn't at full strength. They played some really competitive games in that postseason series. But you're right, Boston did take care of them.
But they still are two players that you know of, one of whom takes an awful lot of time off for various reasons, and another guy who hasn't played in a full year.
I know.
So, you know, there's nothing about Brooklyn that makes you go, man, they're a juggernaut. I mean, really, the only thing you can point to is Durant, which is a good place to start.
And I think Bruce Brown's a free agent, and he's the type of player they need. He's a really good player.
Well, you know, how much money are they going to spend here? Because I think, you know, the hints we're getting from the people who cover the Nets are that, you know, the Nets were ready to just cut bait on both of them just because they're allegedly just fed up with all of it. You know, I don't know what to make of Brooklyn right now, except that there doesn't seem to be an adult in the room. There seem to be a lot of people, and I'm including Steve Nash and Sean Marks, and even Joe Tsai, who is the owner who's paying for all this, who are, like, they're just responding to outside stimuli like a Pavlovian dog. There doesn't seem to be a long-term plan for anything. And nobody wins when that's the overarching theme. I mean, that's how you got the Lakers in the position they're in now. They just said, hey, Russell Westbrook's out there. LeBron likes him. Let's do that. Was there any healthy basketball reason to do that? No. But they did it anyway, and they are materially worse for the effort.
I texted a friend of mine who's a Laker fan today and said, hey, Westbrook opted in. Congratulations. And I don't know if I could read the text I got back.
Yes, you can. Go ahead.
Well, read you could do anything
No,
once.
You brought it up. Read the text.
Well, I think I actually was shut the hell up, Whitey. I think that's what it was.
Okay. Yeah, see, you could say that.
Yeah. It was from Spadoni. Yeah.
It was Spadoni? Oh, yeah. I wouldn't have said anything about that then. I didn't know that you were actually communicating with him.
From the 925, stop tricking us. The Nets were supposed to be good the past two seasons. When I say I think they could be really good, you know, they had their moments last year, and they had all that drama last year with Harden. I'm basing this on the assumption that Kyrie is at least for one season going to commit to the Nets and to winning. And I know that that's not something that's safe to assume, but when I say the Nets could be really good this year, it's based on the assumption that Kyrie in a contract year is going to go, all right, I'm going to give it my best. I think if that happens and they are able to make some shrewd moves in the offseason, I think they have a chance to be really good. I still think the East is pretty wide open, and you know, Boston has to address their issues, their point guard issues.
Well, they're a lot closer to being a complete team than Brooklyn is.
I would agree with that.
So, you know, and Brooklyn sounds like it's a complete hot mess, and that could change in 20 minutes, let alone 20 hours or 20 days. They literally don't know who they are, what they are, or why they are.
The problem with Boston is, for all the talk of Jason Tatum and the Mamba mentality too often last year, and we saw it in the finals, offensively they played with not the Mamba mentality, Ray, but the Muppet mentality, and the Warriors took full advantage of that, where their offense just stopped cold, and then they started turning the ball over.
Because the Warriors could do something that none of the other teams Boston played in the second half of the season could do.
But the Bucks did it to him, and so did the Heat. And it wasn't anybody doing it to him. It was self-inflicted. The Warriors took full advantage of that, yes, but it was self-inflicted to a large
but
degree.
But who won those series? The fact is they couldn't explode it completely. The Warriors did. Remember, there was not a game decided in the finals of less than double digits.
I know.
So
I watched, yeah.
So Boston got handled because the Warriors knew what they couldn't do, and they were solely equipped to take that away from them.
From the 510, Kevin and Kyrie will never work. Why? Because both of them are Robin. I don't know. I think Kevin Durant could be Batman, but Kyrie is like the, if you're going to go superhero, he's like from the Fantastic Four, the Invisible Woman, because when you need him, he's like, where did he go? He's not here anymore. We can't find him. So I don't even think he's a Robin. The Warriors, though, going forward here, trying to make another run at another title. How much right now, Ray, do you think Warrior fans should concern themselves with, oh my goodness, you see what the Clippers are doing? They got John Wall now. Look out. And they re-signed Zubats too, right? Woo, boy.
Do we know what John Wall is anymore? Do we honestly know what he is?
Well, no, we don't.
Well, okay.
Because we didn't see him last year at all.
Yeah.
The year before that, he was okay in a very small sample size.
Yeah, but that's my point. Good. It's been, yeah. I think he's played, 113 games in 5 years? You know, he's the invisible man. So you don't know what he is. Zubats is kind of a helpful piece. And I'm not saying he's better than John Wall.
He's just
nice
player. But
he's somebody, if they didn't have him, they'd notice it.
But I don't think they need John Wall to be what we all thought he was going to be. I don't think with the Clippers, it's not a matter of John Wall, another superstar, boom. I think it's a matter of point guard. You know, Reggie Jackson got worn down last year. And I think if John Wall is close, anything close to being a good player, he should be pretty good. I think he's going to help them a lot. The whole key with them, of course, as we all know, is KL and whether Kawhi is healthy again.
Sure, but I still don't look at them and go, yeah, they're a threat. Because I don't think even with John Wall, they're as good as Memphis. And with all due respect to the decomposing Suns, I don't think they're as good as Phoenix either. So what we're talking about here is a team that was fifth, could be fourth.
The Clippers were what, 42-40 last year, I think? And then they lost to the Timberwolves. I mean, if Kawhi's back, Ty Lue did a really good job there. I think it's definitely a team to keep an eye on. Yeah, it'd be ridiculous.
Clippers were eighth. That shows what I know. They lost
to Minnesota, and that's how Minnesota got in. But they didn't have Kawhi, and Paul George was hurt a lot. Ty Lue did a good job. I think that's a team to keep an eye on. I'm not saying, oh, look out, here come the Clippers. Definitely, though, a team to keep an eye on.
Well, I mean, you know, so they get to the middle of the conference. I mean, the middle of the conference almost never produces a champion. In fact, the Warriors as a three is about as low as it's gotten, except for those two Houston teams.
Yeah, but you know Kawhi, if he's close to Kawhi, he's a force to be reckoned with. We don't know that's what he's going to be. I'm saying, but just don't rule it out.
Yeah, but I mean, when you always opt for the best possible scenario, you end up being disappointed more than not because he's missed a ton of time too.
He has.
And there's no telling.
Who has missed more time, Kawhi Leonard or Damon?
See, that was uncalled for.
It's a joke.
No. It's mean-spirited, and you hate him.
It's not at all.
No, it's exactly what you portrayed it to be. He's not here to defend himself. I'm going to destroy him.
With that, we want to welcome you to your 4 o'clock hour.
Yeah, you deserve it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.